Yeah, it was great being with them. And then Friday afternoon, a bunch of us, it was a great description, wasn't it, the way Chris said it? Instead of all driving in our own trucks with our own music, with our own GPS, with our own comfort, with our own ability to stop and get a coffee whenever we wanted, we hopped in a van. We abandoned all that, gave it all up, hopped in a van, and had a great time. It was so good. Have you heard the term backseat driver? Imagine 14 guys in a van. There's four rows. I said, this is beyond backseat driver. The fourth row, we don't need any driving advice. There's a parking spot over there. No, park like this over here. Hey, hey, hey. No, it was so much fun. And we went up. We went out to New York, out in the middle of the Adirondacks, and we met up with the Malta Church, Pastor Dave Moore, the Burnt Hills Church with Pastor Gary Witt, and we had an awesome time. And just boom. And then back in the van, back on the pike, and then we came in here last night, and now here we are this morning. So thanks, guys, for coming. It was a time that we were together, fellowship. The ride back, we had just a rap session, a rolling rap session. Great questions and conversation. It was so good. Felt like I was with David's mighty men, right? In debt, in discouraged, and in despair. We're in a cave in a van. No, but we were encouraged by each other's testimony. Sean had amazing. Sean's faith and what God is doing in his life. It was so good being with him. So we'll carry it on Tuesday nights. And anybody else who wants to come, any other guys who want to come be a part of it, come on in. You know, because we were looking at the bulletin for the past few months, and we said it's full of ladies' events. And the guys looked around. We said, "Hey, what are we doing?" So we're doing stuff. You know, we had in Silver Spring, Maryland. I worked with Pastor Kim Shibley. Jess and I worked with the Shibleys planting a church in Silver Spring, Maryland, which is right outside Washington D.C. And we were there for 8 years. And the ladies would do these unbelievable events. Unbelievable. They would spend the whole day decorating for it. Just amazing. Everything was perfect. The doilies, like the pictures were straight. It was just amazing. Amazing, right? And they had this thing, they called it Bead Fest. Bead Fest. And one of the ladies from Carlisle, Pennsylvania would come down, and they'd have all the beads and the string. They would all make jewelry together, and there'd be a devotion. It was, man, hours of just amazing fellowship, right? And the guys were like out there looking, man, what are we doing? What are we going to do? And I had the idea. I said, we're going to have Beef Fest. Beef Fest. So we went, we went to someone's backyard. We put a table in the middle. Just a table, no tablecloth, no decoration, just a table. We had chairs, and we went to Costco or BJ's, and we got a humongous piece of beef. We put it on the grill, and once it was cooked, we put that on the table, and we ate it. And at the end, we tipped the table over into the trash can, and we walked away. It was fantastic. We had a good time together. So there's a difference. So, okay, anyway, open with me to Psalm chapter 77. Psalm 77. In our life, we hear a lot of words. We could hear a lot of promises. We could hear a lot of statements made, declarations made, commitments made, right? Big things. I will never, right? I will always be there with you. We hear big things, big statements. Has anybody been disappointed by some of those statements made by people? Right? I don't want to drudge it up. I don't want to. If you've gotten over it, forgive me for bringing it up. But it is possible for us to be disappointed with these things. And in that, maybe we've become a little cynical. Maybe we've learned to distrust people. Maybe we've learned to first think that people are unfaithful. I like to think that when I meet someone, I like to think that they are faithful. Right? Maybe I'm naive. I think the best of people. Right? But in experience, it could be that you've come to the point where you think the worst of people. You assume the worst of people. And maybe rightly so. Completely justifiable, I get it. But as we consider God, can we have some different way to think? Can we have some different way to approach Him, that He is faithful? And He is. I want to say this morning, He is faithful. Oh my goodness, He is faithful. He makes a lot of promises to us throughout the Bible. There's some 9,000 promises. Each one of them is sure. Each one of them is in Him, yes, and in Him, amen. That these promises depend on Him and they are answered in Him. They are not dependent on you or I, and they are not answered in us. But in Him they are yes, in Him they are amen. God is faithful. He can be trusted. But every once in a while in my heart there could be the question arises to His goodness or to His faithfulness. And here in Psalm chapter 77, that's what's happening. David says, or no, it's not David, I'm sorry. David actually didn't write all the Psalms. Isn't that interesting? Oh. Side note. Anyway, Asaph, the author of the psalmist here, he says, I cried out to the Lord with my voice, to God with my voice, and He gave ear to me. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My hand was stretched out in the night without ceasing. That could be like in prayer. That could be that by faith, I am depending on God. And through the night, I'm reaching out to God. But what happened? My soul refused to be comforted. I didn't get an answer. Or I didn't get the answer that I wanted. Have you had that in prayer? Lord, I prayed. I prayed that You would answer the way I wanted You to. And He said, that could be the problem. I could pray God's will. I could pray God's way. I could pray and God could answer. And the answer could be something other than what I wanted. And then that's a difficult place for me to be, maybe. Can I say, thank You, Lord, I trust that You know better than I? I saw a thing once, the guy said, I went through a Chick-fil-A drive-thru and they forgot the French fries. But instead of questioning them, I figured that they knew better than I. I trust Chick-fil-A so much that they knew better than I that I didn't need the French fries. God, right? Could I trust that God knows better than I? Can I trust that God has a plan greater than mine? Can I trust that His faithfulness is so much bigger than just giving me what I want or what I think I need? He says, I remembered God and was troubled. Ooh. I remembered God and I was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. If you're going to complain, complain to God. It's a great place to direct your complaints. He's not offended by them, and He could answer them. You hold my eyelids open. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I meditate within my heart, and my spirit makes a diligent search. In this reflection and in this time, and it's like, it's not easy. It's not easy. He says, we say, God, You said, come unto me. Come unto me and give me your burdens. And Lord, we're coming to You. You're giving You our burdens. Where is the ease? And He says, no, I will give You my yoke. It is my burden, it is light. Right? He gives us, and it could be that there are times of difficulty And God is like squeezing us a little bit, and He is encouraging us in our faith. And we say, Lord, but it's not easy. And He said, oh, I didn't say it was going to be. I'm here with you, though. I worked with a guy. No one said it was going to be easy. And then one job was easy, and he said, no one said it was going to be easy, but it was. Sometimes we find that, and sometimes we find it otherwise. And look what he says. In his diligent search, his spirit makes a diligent search, he comes up with quite a few questions. Will the Lord cast off forever? Will the Lord cast off forever? Like a ship on a mooring where it's secure. A ship that is at the dock, it is secure. Will He push it off? Will He cast off? And will He disconnect me from Himself so I am at the whims of the current, that I am tossed in the seas? Am I on my own? Will the Lord cast off forever? Oh, I hope not. We could be in our prayers. We could say, Lord, I hope not. I'm building my life on You. Please don't leave me. Don't cast off forever. Will He be favorable no more? Have I used up His favor? Will He look at me and change His mind? Will He look at me and change His opinion of me and say, ah, apple in my eye? Nah, not anymore. Favorable? Nah, not anymore. You've wasted it. You've squandered it. You're like the prodigal. You took my favor and you used it for your own good, and you're gone. That's it. I've had enough. Has His mercy ceased forever? Because of the way I feel and because of the way what I am experiencing right now, does that mean that His mercy has ceased? And will this be my lot from now on? Will I be in this place where I have no comfort in His mercies? Has His promise failed forevermore? Promises fail here on earth. We've seen it. We've been a part of it. We have failed promises we've made. We have been failed by promises. We're on both sides of it. Right. But will He fail? Will His promises fail forevermore? And now I am on my own? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Imagine if God could forget to be Himself. Has God gotten preoccupied with something else or someone else or some other universe or some other creation that He has forgotten to be the way He said He would be? Has He, in anger, shut up His tender mercies? Has He shifted, like the turn of the switch? The turn of the switch could be there. Could God turn the switch and say, mercy off, anger on? Oh, and if He were to do that, what would be my lot? What would be my place? I would be compressed. I would be squished like a bug. Right? I could not handle the weight of God's wrath. I could not be under His anger. Would He do that? Is He like a man where He changes His opinion? Is He like us where He repents for what He has done? No. Let's consider. Let's keep going. And I said, this is my anguish. My anguish. Oh, if this is true, and if the answer to any of these questions is yes, then this is my anguish. I have no hope. I have no prospects in continuing. But I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. At the right hand of the Most High, there is favor. At the right hand of the Most High, there is authority. At the right hand of the Most High, there is His character, His nature. At the right hand of the Most High is everything that He will do and has done for us. Surely I will remember Your wonders of old. Don't forget what God has done. I will also meditate on Your work and talk of Your deeds. Talk about what God has done. This past summer, Brad Hutchins asked. He came forward. He had a test. He had a prayer request. Right. He on his lung. There was a shadow on his lung. He met with the doctors. They consulted. It wasn't so much, well, we'll see what happens, but it was more so, this is what we will have to do. Because of what is in your lung, this is what we will have to do. This is how much of your lung we will have to remove. It's not going to be good, but you'll be okay. Right? And I could see it was weighing heavy on him, right? Understandably. And we've been praying for a couple weeks, and then one service, Pastor Shabelli was here with all the guys for our missions conference, and the room was full of faith, and we said, hey, I said, Brad, come here. We're going to pray. And we stood right here on this little patch of carpet, and we prayed. We left the carpet, and we entered heaven, right? We by obedience to the Word of God, we anointed him with oil, we prayed, we lay hands on him and prayed. And Brad came skipping into church the next week, right? Light as a feather. I got a text message. As soon as he got the results, I got a text message testing me. And he said, the news is that there is nothing that needs to be done. There is no thing in my lung, right? And we speak about it, right? We speak about it. God did that. God did that. Are we free enough to say God did that? Am I able to reflect on what God had done? Because if not, I will come back to these questions and say, oh my gosh, it could be that God has cast me off forever. It could be that he has forgotten to be gracious. And I feel so timid and so weak that I don't want to remind him. I don't feel like knocking on his door. I just say, okay, Lord, you know better than I. But instead, we stand here and we say, no, God did this. God healed me. God called me. God spoke to me. God drew me out of many waters. God told me to launch out into the deep. God built my faith. He did something to me, and now I'm light as a feather, and I'm singing his praises. Right? Don't let these things slide by without recognizing God's work in it. God has been answering prayers in the midst of the body of Christ. I have seen it. I have heard so many testimonies in the past year of God's faithfulness, God's answer to prayer. Don't forget it. Talk about it. Have you ever prayed the prayer, God, if you're there, show me? And then he shows you in some such a specific way that you know God did it. And you say, no one else would understand this. No one else. Well, try. Try. Challenge them. Right? Tell them the story. Say, listen, I was dealing with this. I prayed this way, and God did this. Speak about it often. Right? And he says, talk about his deeds. And then verse 13, your way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Your way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Here we are in the sanctuary amongst God's people, the body of Christ, and God's way is in here. He is moving, he is acting, he is encouraging, he is challenging. Sean said something yesterday on the way home. I thought it was an amazing statement. He said, you could come to church and you could be challenged by something. And this is me saying what he said in my way. Right? You come to church, you could be challenged, you could be convicted. The Word of God could come to you and say, boom. Like, man, you say, hey, ow, don't do that. That's not why I came here. You have a decision to make at that point, right? I'm out of here. I don't want to be challenged. I don't want to be convicted. I want to be encouraged. I want to be affirmed. I want to be made feel. I want someone to make me feel good. Right? Or I could say, Lord, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. As I walk in the light, I want to see more light. And as I walk in more light, I will see things that are maybe not good in my life. And it's the mercy of God and the grace of God giving me the ability to get beyond them. I see them, I'm challenged by them, and I say, ooh, take a gulp and move on in faith and God can lead us. His way is in the sanctuary. Who is so great as our God? Look how the questions are turning. Look at it. As I consider His deeds, as I speak about Him, as I see His way and His with His people, I ask a different question. They turn over. Who is like our God? Who is so great as our God? You are the God who does wonders. You have declared strength among the people. The peoples, I like that, plural. You have declared your strength among the peoples. Who are the peoples? We are the peoples. That's us. You have with your arm redeemed your peoples. Why did it change? The sons of Jacob and Joseph. Now, look at this, verse 16. The waters saw you, O God. Now here we're talking about the children of Israel coming out of Egypt and going across the Red Sea. Imagine 6 million people approaching the Red Sea. Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. Right? The predator that's coming up to the sea. How are the waters reacting to this miracle? How are the waters reacting? And imagine that moment where the water is there. The people are here and God is here. It says the waters saw who? The waters saw God, the waters were afraid, and the depths trembled. Romans chapter 8 says creation is crying out. Creation, the trees, the platypus, whatever, creation is crying out, and it is saying, what is it, Lord? What will you do? I know this isn't everything. I know it's incomplete. But look, here, as the children of Israel are approaching this amazing sea, and they could be saying, well, I guess He cast us off forever. I guess He forgot to be gracious. I guess He turned the switch from mercy to anger. And now we're either going to drown or we're going to be beat by this army. But the waters are trembling and they're saying, oh no, God is going to do something. God is going to move. God will. And boom, the waters obey the power and the authority of God. Whoa, right? The waters saw you. They trembled. The clouds poured out water. The skies sent out a sound and your arrows flashed about. This is like a chaotic scene. But it's chaotic in a way that the very presence of God is here fighting for Israel and confusing Egypt and overpowering the elements of the world and making things happen. And it's like a cyclone and there are sounds coming from heaven. The people of Israel are walking through a sea on dry ground and saying, did you hear that? And they say, well, did you see that? My senses are overwhelmed by the very presence of God and the power of God that is being expressed right now. I can't even handle it. The sky, the clouds poured out. The voice of your thunder was in the whirlwind. The lightnings lit up the world. The earth trembled and shook. Your way was in the sea, your path in the great waters, and your footsteps were not known. It was a mystery. Right? It was mysterious what was happening. We don't know. We don't know. We don't see the prints. We don't see the direction. But there is all kinds of evidence all around. And the evidence is all around that the Spirit of the Lord is here. Right? And we just sang this song. Didn't we? Let us become more aware of your presence. Like, are we aware of His presence? And it could be when we're aware of His presence, we are terrified by His power, His raw power. But then what does He say? We say, where are your footsteps? They must be humongous. Shaquille O'Neal says 22, right? It's nothing. Nothing compared to the imprint that God leaves on the earth. Where are your foot? I don't see them. But what do I see? Verse 20. In this great display of power and authority and just like everything is in it, what is He doing? You led your people like a flock. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. Where things could go crazy, where things could be out of control, where these questions could come in, where I learned to doubt God, He leads His people like a flock. You and I are the flock of God. We are. And we see it with the nation of Israel there. They go through the sea on dry ground. They get up on the other side. And then all of a sudden it closes. The enemy's consumed and they are free. You and I are in this. You and I are the flock of God, and He is leading us. It says in Psalm 100, verse 3, Know that the Lord, He is good, and it is He who made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people in the sheep of His pasture. We are His people in the sheep of His pasture. And you know what He does? He gives us a place. Everywhere we go, we have a pasture. Everywhere we go as His flock, as His sheep, we have a pasture. Psalm chapter 23. All right. He brings me to the green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul for His righteousness' sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because His staff is there. He is my shepherd. I say, Lord, the water's trembling. The sky's making a really weird sound. Everything is shaking. I don't know what is going on. And I'm going to this point where I'm considering the fact that You have turned Your switch of mercy off. You have turned anger on. And You have forgotten to be gracious. You have left Your promises. You have cast me off forever. What do I have? In the valley of the shadow of death, that's when His staff comes close and it touches me just a little bit. And He says, no, remember, I am Your shepherd. You are my sheep. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Let's go. I have a table prepared for you in the midst of your enemies. You are my flock. I will not leave you. But instead, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is what we have. This is our shepherd, right? We have been saved. We have been delivered. We have been brought into this flock, like He says in John chapter 10. There's a flock that you don't know about. That's us. That's you and me. And we're in this amazing pasture. He says in John chapter 14, I go to prepare a place for you. If it weren't so, I would tell you. But I'm coming back, right? And I will bring you to myself. And then there's something, but let's look at this. As His sheep at the table, being at the table that He has prepared for us in the midst of our enemies, this pasture that He's given us, does He answer our questions? The questions that we detailed here in Psalm chapter 77, it has those, the questions, where are they? I lost them. Verse 7 through 9, the questions, right? Will He cast us off forever? I come to God with that question, and then I pull myself up to the table that He's prepared for me in the midst of my enemies, and I find a verse in Hebrews 13:5. And in English, the B part says, He will never leave you, He will never forsake you. But in the Greek, it says five times, I will never. He said, I will never leave you, I will never, never forsake you. He makes it so clear. He says it over and over again, where we sit back and we say, bah, He's cast us off forever. And He says, no, I will never leave you. I will never, never forsake you. You are mine. I fought for you. I paid for you. I did everything to liberate you into my pasture. I will never leave you and never forsake you. We take a big bite of that. We say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Who is a God like my God? Who is like, we say, Lord, who can say that? And He said, only I can say that. I'm the only one. And we say, Lord, will He be favorable no more? Lord, will You be favorable no more? And He comes to us and He says in Ephesians 1:7 and Ephesians 2:7, we have what we have according to the riches of His grace. There is a wealth of His grace that we don't understand. In Philippians 4:19, it says that my God shall supply all your needs according to what? According to His riches in glory. Where is glory? Gloria. Glory. Right? Where is glory? His glory, it is the perfection of His nature. That's what it is. Glory, doxa, the perfection of His nature. How perfect is He? I don't know. I don't know. But I want to know. And I want to keep knowing. And I want to find out more. And I want to find it. And as I find out more, I say, oh my gosh, you have never stopped being favorable to me. I can't. Who is like my God? Oh, no one is. And then we say, has His mercy ceased forever? Has His mercy ceased forever? You know who asked a question similar to this? A man named Jeremiah. He wrote a book called Lamentations. You know what it means to lament? It means to cry. All right? In the book of Lamentations, we could say the ministry of Jeremiah is one of loss, of heartbreaking defeat. But when Jeremiah is asking this question, will he cast off his, will he cease, what is it? has His mercy ceased forever? Lamentations 3:22, through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed. Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed. Through our own defenses, through our own levies that we've built, through our own strength. No, through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed. Because His compassions, what? Fail not. They are new. Instead of failing, instead of ending, instead of being overwhelmed, they are new every morning. They are rejuvenated every morning. There is a fresh source every single morning. The mercies of God, they are new every morning. Great is Your faithfulness. The question is, will He stop being merciful? The answer is, no, His mercies are new every morning, and they are dependent on His faithfulness, which is great. They can't be compared. They will not be consumed. They cannot be expired. Has His promise failed forevermore? If you look at the history of the nation of Israel, we could say His promise is there. It was given in Genesis chapter 12, and it hasn't failed. They're still here. Despite the devil's attempt to destroy in every century, they are still here. But also, guess what? You and I are still here. A couple of us here are even in our right minds. I don't mean to put myself in that group, but like God, because God is with us, His promise has not failed. It hasn't. It says in 2 Peter 1:4 that something is given to us. What is given to us? These exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we would overcome the world and we would overcome lust. Exceeding great and precious. They are great. They are exceeding great. What is great in this world? There have been great speeches. There have been great statements. There have been great promises. There have been great things, great men, great women, great things. But there is an exceeding greatness in the promises of God. They do not fail. They wholly rest on Him. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. He gives the promise. He fulfills the promise. And He brings me home. Right. Has He forgotten to be gracious? If God has forgotten to be gracious, I'm gone. Because the next breath that my body needs won't be there if God decides not to be gracious. But the beautiful thing about this is that it's not even possible. Because God is not just graciousness is not something that He does. It's not just like a thing that He has. Like I have this cup of water and then at some point it's going to be gone. Is God gracious that way in the sense that like He's Batman and He has a utility belt and then there's like grace in there? And He's like, oh, let me see. Sorry, nothing for you. Forgot to put my belt on this morning. No, it's who He is. It's who He is. God cannot forget to be who He is. I can forget it. I can leave it, but God will never forget to be who He is. And in our salvation, He has said something to us in Romans chapter 5 and verse 2. He says that you are standing in grace. You are standing in grace. How did I get there? God put you there. How do I get out of it? No, there's no leaving. God has put you there. Does He remember He put me here? Oh man, He does. Every morning he comes and he reminds you. Every evening he's there. And as you sleep, he's sustaining you. And the next breath you have is yours because God is gracious. The victory you have over your sin is yours because God is gracious. The peace you have in your heart is yours because God is gracious. The peace you have in your family is yours because God is gracious. He won't forget. He doesn't stop. He doesn't change. Malachi chapter 3, verse 16 says, I am the Lord God, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob, you are not consumed. If God would forget to be gracious, or if God would change the way He is, I would be consumed in that quickly. But I'm not, because He is, and He's not changing. Has He in His anger shut up His tender mercies? God is not angry with His flock. He is not angry with His flock. Instead, He is pleased with His flock. And His anger has passed. Isaiah 49:20. His anger has passed. 29:20? Anyway. His anger has passed. Christ died on the cross for you and me. The wrath of God was poured out on Christ at the cross. The earth shook. The skies were black. And the lightning, the thundering, everything, all of creation was reacting to the wrath of God being poured out. And you know what? Christ was able to bear it. Christ was able to handle it. And He did. He did. So now, by my faith in Christ, the wrath of God is no longer directed at me. And if it is, it's unrighteous, and God is not who He says He is. His wrath has been poured out on Christ. It has been received. It has been handled. It has been paid for. And now I am free to come to God according to His mercies in Psalm chapter 51. And I have no fear of wrath. I have no fear of judgment. I have no fear of the anger of God. But only an expectation of the sure mercies of David. Knowing He is gracious. Knowing His promises are sure. Knowing that He loves me. It's amazing. So I think we can say, our first question was, can we trust God? Yes. And then to all these other questions that come up in our heart, we can say no. And where do we get the answer? His way is in the sanctuary. His table has prepared us in the midst of our enemies. And we are fed there. Proverbs chapter 9 says that wisdom has built her house. She has slaughtered the meat. She's carved it. She's cooked it. She's prepared the mix. She's drinking the mix, mixed the drinks, right? She's decorated. The table is set. Everything is prepared. And then she is over there. She's saying, come on in. Come and eat. Isaiah 55 says, come, you who have no money, buy. And we're over here counting our little shekels and we're thinking, ooh, God, right? God, I don't have what it takes to come to the table. And He said, well, I told you it costs nothing. So unless you have less than nothing, I guess you're right, but I don't see how that works. And He said, I said, just come. And we said, we don't have money to buy. He said, I said it repeatedly. Come with you who don't have money, come and buy. It come by faith. Ephesians 5:8-9, we are saved by grace through faith. Come. Find the answers, right? He's there. He'll never leave you. Isn't that amazing? He says it, I think, 7 times in that verse. I will never, never, no, never leave you. I will never, 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 no, never forsake you. That's who we have. That's who we worship. That's who we walk with. That's who our shepherd is. And we are His flock. And oh my gosh, I forgot the end of me. I forgot the exclamation point. Hold on, bear with me. Revelation chapter 21, right? We have been saved. We are being saved. And Jesus said, He went to heaven. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. But look at here in Revelation chapter 21, verse 1. This is the place that He has prepared for us. It will be delivered to us and we will occupy it. Isn't that amazing? Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eye, and there shall be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away." All right, the storms that we know now will be no more. We, as the flock of God, he has prepared a place for us where the storms will be no more, the thunders will be no more, the lightning will be gone, right? The waters will be no more, and we will be with God. And he says it. He will, he will wipe away every tear. Every tear, right? Every tear. There shall be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more pain. We have it now. We do. It could be a storm in your life that you have it now. But in the light of eternity, it's nothing. I don't want to minimize it. I don't want to take it away from you. But I'm saying, in the midst of it, like this psalm says, "In the night I stretched my hand out all night to God and I wasn't comforted." Has he forgotten me? Is he leaving me? Is he no more gracious? Is he no more merciful? No, he is gracious. He is merciful. And so much so that there will be a day when all that pain, all those tears will be wiped away. There will be no more sorrow. There will be nothing but joy in the presence of God. He will personally come to you. He will wipe it away as your shepherd. He will embrace you and he will lead you into the amazing reality of eternity with him. Verse 5, "Then he who sat on the throne said, 'Behold, I make all things new.' And he said unto me, 'Write these words, or write, for these words are faithful, are true and faithful.' And he said, 'It is done. It is done. I am. I am.'" That's it. "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And in between, I am. And I will not fail. My mercies will not switch to anger. My grace will not be forgotten. You are standing in grace, and I will not forget you there. I am with you always. I will give of the fountain of water, of the water of life freely to those who thirst." Right? This is it. One more warning, though. "He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my people." Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? It is God. God will say that. We will see this. We will be in it. But there's a warning here for now in time. And he says this: "The cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the sexually immoral, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and all liars." If you go through that list and you say, "I'm good," and then all liars. Oh, there I am. Right? "They will find their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." What is our escape? What is the answer to my immorality? What is the answer to my lying? What is the answer to my idolatry? The Lamb who is slain. The one who wipes it away. The one who gives us an entrance into heaven. It's Christ. Our shepherd has prepared for us. He is preparing for us and feeding us, and he has prepared for us. He is worthy of our trust. He is faithful. He can be leaned on. He can be dependent on. Run to him in need. Cry out to him. Complain to him. But allow him to answer you. And then come to the conclusion that there is no God like my God. He is. Amen? Amen. Lord Jesus, thank you for your faithfulness to us forever, Lord, for generations. Lord, thank you so much. And if there's anybody here who's never put their faith in Christ, just say in your heart, "Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I believe that you are the one who died. You bled for me. You forgive my sins. You went into death and overcame it for me. I believe, Jesus, I believe. Give me the gift of eternal life." And if that's your prayer this morning, please raise your hand. We'll pray with you. Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for what you've done in our midst. Help us to remember. Help us to reflect. Help us to continue talking about what you have done and who you are. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, if you'd like to stand. Missionary offering is for Pastor Hewler. What? Hewler? Hewlett? I need new prescriptions. Hewlett Jr. So, yeah. All right, go do Stand in Your Love for the last one. Tries to roll over my bones, when sorrow comes to steal the joy I own, when brokenness and pain is all I know, I won't be shaken, I won't be shaken. When darkness tries to roll over my